The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Monday, January 31st, 2011, and it's got to be my birthday, and it's 420 everywhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here. Oh my goodness, it's playing again. We've got to stop it. It's out of control. This video you're seeing is our new intro that has been brought to us by our own Cannabob, who's up there in the corner window there. Hi, Cannabob. How you doing over there? And thank you so much. What a great birthday present. Really appreciate it. Thanks for joining us here for the show. Today's show marks my third anniversary as host of this podcast, and we're glad you could join us. Joining us also here in the studio is the maestro, Ganja John.
What's up, Russ?
Oh, you're up, and I'm glad to see you're up. We had a hell of a night last night.
Yes, I woke up baked. So.
We went to bed baked, woke up baked.
Yep.
It was a good time had by all here. We had a little birthday party here at the Normal Show Live's Rolla J Studios, and our own Cannabis Carrie was there as well. Let's bring Cannabis Carrie on the line.
Hey, guys. I had a great time. Ate too much food, though. Oh, that was great food.
Plenty of food and German chocolate cake, and fun was had by all. We appreciate everyone who came out here, and we'll talk about my birthday a little bit later here in the show. The Radical Rant today is about my birthday. I have only one thing I want for my birthday, and you'll have to stay tuned to find out what that is. Also, at half past, we're going to be joined by Leap's Mackenzie Allen. You know him. He's the guy who got his question answered by President Obama with regard to ending the drug war, who we said legalization was a legitimate topic for debate. Mackenzie Allen joins us at half past. For today's Roots Monday, I'm bringing up some reefer jazz for my birthday, one of my favorites of all time, the great Cab Calloway with Minnie the Moocher. But before all that, we start with Cannabis Carrie and our hemp headlines. So what's in the news today?
Well, today we've got some news out of California where new legislation is being introduced. Also, a sad, disturbing story from World Cannabis News that I'm going to talk about that led to an Iranian travel warning. And I'm thinking, who needs a travel warning issued from Iran? But also another story in Alabama where we're looking at parents' rights of juveniles who get in trouble with controlled substances.
All right. Sounds like a lot of great stuff in the news that we need to get covered today. So we'll bring that all to you right after this first break. Thanks for joining us here. We'll be right back after these messages. It's Normal Show Live. We'll see you in a minute.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
High in the Rockies. For the first time ever, High Times is hosting the Medical Cannabis Cup in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be cultivation seminars with High Times editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido, plus other experts and cannabis celebrities. Attend activism seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including advice on how to start your own cannabis business. Meet industry leaders in medical cultivation, hydroponics, smokable glassware, hemp products, dispensary supply, cannabis accessories, and more. Plus, Medical Cannabis Cups will be awarded to the best indica, sativas, concentrates, and edibles entered by legally operating medical marijuana dispensaries and growing collectives. And don't forget Saturday night when the Medical Cannabis Cup will host the extravaganza with surprise musical guests. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, April 2nd and 3rd, 2011 at Exto in Denver, Colorado. Visit MedCanCup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis industry. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
At a conference this weekend in California, much talk was about new legislation that is being introduced in the state and the work to introduce more cannabis reform legislation. State Senator Mark Leno of San Francisco introduced a bill last week that would prevent employers from firing most medical marijuana patients who test positive for cannabis. The bill would also make it illegal for employers not to hire someone solely because they use medical marijuana for medical reasons. Senator Leno proposed a similar bill in 2007 that was passed by the legislature but vetoed by then-Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. He told the San Francisco Chronicle this week that it simply establishes a medical cannabis patient's right to work and that it astounds him that there would be any controversy around it. He said that the historic ballot measure that was passed back in 1996 to legalize medical marijuana was not intended by the voters to only apply to unemployed state residents. The Supreme Court of California ruled in 2008 that there is nothing in the state's current medical marijuana law that bans an employer from firing a medical marijuana patient that tests positive for cannabis. Leno's bill would exempt from protection workers such as doctors, nurses, school bus drivers, and heavy equipment operators who hold safety-sensitive jobs. The term refers to work that would be directly affected if an employee was impaired. The California Chamber of Commerce opposed his bill back in 2007, and they have yet to declare support or opposition to the current bill. The chamber was one of the most vocal opponents of Prop 19 last year, the statewide ballot measure that would have legalized marijuana for recreational use for adults. The group said at the time that they believe Proposition 19 would have prevented employers from firing workers who smoked pot or were under its influence even at work, a claim that was disputed by supporters of the measure. Leno said he will also reintroduce a bill to allow California hemp farmers to grow hemp this session. Assemblyman Tom Amiano, another Democrat from San Francisco, said he would also try to move his bill to legalize marijuana sales, but he is also considering a piecemeal approach. A conference held on Saturday that was sponsored by the California chapter of Normal was aimed at reaching out and gathering support for a new campaign to put another marijuana legalization initiative on the California ballot. The team behind Proposition 19, which lost by a 54% to 46% vote, are beginning to draft a new initiative this spring. Starting in July will be the expensive and time-consuming task of building support for a new legalization initiative. Advocates are working on getting a passable measure on the November 2012 ballot.
Well, good luck to them. I sure hope we get something good coming through California to make up for losing with Prop 19. But like I said, Prop 19 was the first step. Senator Leno's always been a big supporter of the medical marijuana industry and medical marijuana patients, and he's also been a friend to legalization. So we're looking forward to these bills. One thing I always like to point out in these things, you know, the employers always want to bring up the workers in safety-sensitive positions and marijuana use in the workplace and possible loss of productivity. All these reasons they use to justify testing people's pee for employment, whether they're going to stay hired or get hired. And the thing that is always missing in this debate to me is the statistics or the harm that they're trying to prevent. It always seems to be taken as a given that we have to prevent marijuana use in the workplace. Yet I have yet to see anyone bring up any statistics showing that there is widespread abuse of marijuana in the workplace. And if there is, what harms befall us because of that? I'd like to see someone try to prove that rather than just going forward assuming the premise that there is harm associated with marijuana use in the workplace. Also, good news here, getting this hemp bill going in California as well. Well, it always is just mind-boggling to me that even with the war on drugs, even if you can accept the premise of we have to stop people from smoking marijuana, to take that to the extent that we have to ban something they don't smoke because it looks like something they do smoke is the height of idiocy.
And in world cannabis news, an Iranian Dutch woman who was arrested in Iran after taking part in demonstrations has been hanged for drug smuggling. Her execution on Saturday has prompted the Netherlands to freeze official contact and issue a travel warning to nationals. Yuri Rosenthal, the Dutch foreign affairs minister, had reached out to the Iranian ambassador following news reports. He said he was deeply shocked by the barbaric act and that on Friday, Iranian diplomats had told him that not all legal avenues had run their course in the case, so the news of the hanging came as a shock. Back on January 5th, Rosenthal had expressed extreme concern about Bahrami, the woman who was hanged, and had asked the Iranian authorities to provide immediate classification about her case. Her daughter had reported that Bahrami was also awaiting a trial in a second capital case in which she was accused of being in an armed opposition group. That case had not been heard at the time of her execution. The woman's daughter says that the drug charges against her mother were completely fabricated. It had been reported that Bahrami, who holds dual citizenship in Iran and the Netherlands, was taken into custody and accused of having 450 grams of cocaine and 420 grams of opium hidden in her house in Iran. Bahrami actually lives in London but was visiting her family in Iran, where she took part in opposition demonstrations marking the Shiite Muslim festival of Ashura in December of 2009. In a statement from the Tehran prosecutor's office, they said that Bahrami was a member of an international drug trafficking ring who, with the help of her Dutch links, smuggled cocaine to Iran. If true, it would have been a money-losing venture, as cocaine and opium garner a much higher price in Europe than they do in Iran. According to Dutch officials, due to the execution, the Netherlands cannot ensure the safety of Iranians who are also Dutch nationals and has issued the travel warning against visiting the country. The Dutch Foreign Affairs Ministry said that all official contacts with Iran would be frozen and Iranian diplomats in the Netherlands would have to seek permission from the Dutch Foreign Affairs Ministry before they met any Dutch official. There has been no decision yet about recalling the Dutch ambassador in Tehran. According to media reports, Bahrami was the 66th person to be executed so far in Iran this year. There has been a sharp increase in criminal executions in Iran this year, especially of convicted drug smugglers. The executions have drawn criticism from the European Union's chief diplomats. Last Thursday, Iran reported that they hung 10 drug traffickers in one day. Practices such as public executions and suspension hangings that are carried out in Iran are against the EU's policy of global opposition to capital punishment. Along with China, Saudi Arabia, and the United States, Iran has one of the highest numbers of executions each year, with adultery, murder, drug trafficking, and other major crimes all punishable by death.
Yeah, sad story here, and this whole story just stinks. The idea that you would want to take cocaine and heroin from Europe, where you can make a whole lot of money on it, and take it to Iran, where not only can you not make as much money, but you face the possibility of execution. No smuggler in their right mind would be going for this. This makes no sense to me. I don't understand how this came to be. And it just reminds us, you know, that as bad as we may have it here in America, even with, you know, SWAT teams breaking down our doors and sometimes the occasional citizen getting shot over cannabis in this country, we at least aren't executing people in America for smuggling drugs or smuggling marijuana. We have it on our books. It's actually on the books in America. You can be executed for being involved in a continuing criminal enterprise smuggling more than 60,000 kilograms of marijuana in this country. We're one of the few countries in the world that has the death penalty for marijuana smuggling, along with Iran and Saudi Arabia, Malaysia, Singapore, and so on. It's just a sad, sad day when someone else has to die over drugs when it's just not necessary.
Activist Loretta Nell in Alabama is speaking to the press about the Shelby County Drug Court that drug tests parents of juveniles enrolled in their program. She says that she is reviewing a case where a judge has forced the parents of a child who was in trouble for shoplifting and then tested positive for spice, a recently outlawed substance that is marketed as a fake marijuana. The judge says that a forced drug test under the threat of arrest is to, quote, prove the parents are good role models, unquote. Nell points out that the parents of the juvenile have not violated any laws, are not under the rule of any courts, and have no custody battles or involvement with Children Protective Services. She reports that one of the parents is actually a teacher. After looking into the matter, she has found that the practice of drug testing parents is standard procedure in the Shelby County Drug Court. The parents in this particular case sent her their paperwork, and it said right on the court agreement, quote, parents, guardians, or custodians is are made party to herein shall submit to and pass drug and alcohol screens at the request of the drug court team, unquote. After checking with some lawyers, the provision that makes parents or guardians a party to the case is found in the Alabama Juvenile Code. In the code, it says that a parent or guardian in a juvenile case may be required to pay fees for treatments and court costs, but then also adds this line, quote, a person made a part may be subject to other things also, unquote, providing just enough gray area to make the procedure legal. But that line is so broadly written that a judge could fit anything into it. If one of the parents fails a drug test, they can get sent directly to jail. Nell has contacted the Alabama ACLU, who on first read has said the policy is very problematic, and they are currently looking at the case. Meanwhile, she just wants to warn any parents in Shelby County, Alabama, that if your child somehow winds up in juvenile court, it could happen to you as well.
Wow, this is unbelievable. This is the first I've heard of this. Unbelievable. Shelby County's testing the parents of the kids that get in trouble, testing them for drugs under the gray area of other things also. See, this is something when you write laws and I go over all of these initiatives that come through all these different states and all the bills that come through. And after you've read laws over and over and over again, you start to learn about loopholes and gray areas and bad wording in laws. And boy, you couldn't get much worse than other things also. Things. No definition of things. Could be any old thing. I wonder, you know, maybe we could get the courts to make sure that these parents are being good role models by, you know, not just drug testing them. My gosh, let's check their body mass index, make sure they're not fat. Let's check their nutrition, make sure they're feeding the kids well. We ought to have literacy tests. Let's have literacy tests for those parents as well, right? Their kids go to juvie. Well, you know, maybe it's because the parents aren't very well educated. Let's make them take some literacy tests while we're at it. That's other things also, right? Let's test, you know, let's just make sure that any kid that gets in trouble, we can just burrow right into those parents' lives and mess around and find out whatever we want to find out about them, subject them to any old condition, have them jump through any old hoop. This is not the America I signed up for, people. This is not the America I signed up to protect. This does not make sense in our country. Innocent until proven guilty. These parents are guilty of nothing. Their child may have been guilty of something. Their child may have acted inappropriately. And while parents are responsible for their children, you cannot be prying into their lives like this when their children have a problem. This is police state gone mad. And Loretta Nall, she's like a bulldog. She'll be on this one. I am sure this is not the last we are going to hear about Shelby County, Alabama. I foresee some lawsuits rising up to the Supreme Court coming off of this one. Okay, folks, thank you, Carrie, for all that in the news. And coming up next on Normal Show Live. We're going to go to your daily Toker tunes. Today's Roots Monday, and Carrie's got the day off from the song picking because it's my birthday. I'm 43 today, and so I get to pick what the music is. I'm picking one of my favorites, Cab Calloway and his Cotton Club Orchestra with Minnie the Moocher. You may have heard the song in the soundtrack from the 1980 movie The Blues Brothers, but this is the original version, the long version with a whole bunch more lyrics you've probably not heard before. And of course, Cab Calloway, one of the greats in reefer jazz. Also, very important guest coming up at half past the hour, Mackenzie Allen from Leap. He was the policeman who asked the question of President Obama about the drug war that finally got an answer. Mackenzie Allen joins us at half past. And then at 45 past, we're going to do a radical rant for my birthday. I'm going to tell you the one thing that I want most for my birthday, only one simple little thing, and let's hope I get it. We'll be right back.
I think we should take some birthday bong hits.
Time for birthday bong break. We'll be enjoying some of the birthday goodness, and we will be right back with some Cab Calloway.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gone. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again first of the month.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by Cannabis Carry in Astoria, Oregon, and CannabisFantastic.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Well, folks, we wouldn't be here doing a show on cannabis if it weren't for the pioneers in the reefer jazz area popularizing the use of what was then called muggles, or tea. The Vipers back then included a great African-American band leader who was born on Christmas of 1907, Cab Calloway. During his early years, he played at the Cotton Club and sat in for the Duke Ellington Orchestra. Orchestra, when they were touring, they became so popular that they became co-headlining bands there at the Cotton Club. And of course, he met and performed with Louis Armstrong. Dizzy Gillespie was in his band. And of course, his most famous song is the one we're going to play for you today, Minnie the Moocher. And this became famous through a series of Betty Boop animated shorts back in the day in the old movie theaters. They'd show the cartoons before the movies. And Cab Calloway was very popular back then and was featured in early American television. And of course, was famous for another generation, my generation, in the 1980s with the movie The Blues Brothers, where he played a character in that movie and performed this song as well with that awesome band that they put together for The Blues Brothers, featuring Duck Dunn and Steve Cropper, among many, many greats. So without further ado, light up some tea, you vipers, get the muggles, and enjoy Cab Calloway and his Cotton Club Orchestra with Minnie the Moocher.
A red hot hoochie coocher. She was the roughest, toughest, frail, but Minnie had a heart as big as a whale. Ho de ho, de ho,
ho de ho, de ho.
Hi de hi, de hi,
hi de hi, de hi.
Hey de, hey de, hey de, hey. Loved him, though he was cokey. He took her down to Chinatown, and he showed her how to kick the gong around. Heady, heady, heady,
heady, heady,
heady. Oy, 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 oy. That she was needing. He gave her a home built of gold and steel, a diamond car with the platinum wheels. Hadi, 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 hadi,
hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi,
hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi,
hadi,
hadi, hadi, hadi,
hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi,
was a dozen courses. She had $1 million worth of nickels and dimes.
And what did she do?
She sat around and counted them all 1,000,000 times. Hi, de hi, de hi.
Hi, de hi, de hi.
Want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
...76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
One of the most disturbing elements of the war on marijuana is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows firsthand the futility of the drug war and reaches out to the community and to current law enforcement to end our war on drugs through legalization. It's time now to speak to one such officer in our continuing look at law enforcement against prohibition.
Welcome back, everyone. This is going to be exciting. We have got Leaps Mackenzie Allen, a retired deputy sheriff who also was the man you saw in the video that President Obama answered about the drug war. So, Mac, welcome back to the show.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for the invitation, Russ.
Hey, you're welcome. And were you stunned that you got to ask a question directly to the president? How'd you feel about it?
I think stunned is a very good word. Yeah, I was shocked. First that he chose to answer it, you know, because obviously he's going to have final say on what questions are selected. But then I think we were all amazed at his response. It was a rational, reasonable, and a sea change of a response for a sitting president.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing coming off of this too, is that, you know, all the way back going to Nixon, it was always war on drugs, and, just a year or two ago, we were hearing that legalization wasn't even in this president's vocabulary, so it looks like you guys bought him a dictionary or something.
Well, I think we'd all like to believe that we helped it along. You know, I think when you pose a question in a rational, reasoned way, to a rational, reasonable, and obviously very bright person such as Obama, it's pretty hard to just slough it off or laugh it off. My understanding was that last year he did, in fact, laugh a question on the topic off. But I think it's going to be more difficult for him and all politicians to do that from now on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, this question was voted on by the, you know, 1.9 million people who signed on and cast votes there. 1.9 million votes. It wasn't 1.9 million people, but 1.9 million votes. And the Leap video that you were in garnered 13,000 votes, 13,800 something votes, and well more than twice as many as the next highest ranking question, which was also a question concerning the drug war. Do you feel that the president and the administration have gotten the message, or in answering your question, do you feel that they just kind of felt like they've done enough to table it for now, to soothe our feelings about it?
You know, I would really hope that the second possibility is not the case. I'd like to believe the former. You know, my understanding was that the top 100 questions all concern the legalization of drugs. Now, you and I both know that in and among them are going to be some silly and rather immature questions about it, and those are easily discounted out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to believe that we finally have somebody in a position to do something who is going to be more open-minded about this than any past administration.
Yes. Now, one concern that I've heard from my listeners and some of the people adding comments to the blog has been about the broadness of the question concerning the legalization of all drugs. And they feel that had the question been pointed toward just marijuana, just cannabis, it would have been a tougher question to duck in that the president responded to all drugs with things about public safety, public health, addiction, things that may not apply so much to just marijuana. How do you feel about the broad of the message and whether or not we should target a message to just marijuana?
Well, you know, with all due respect to your listeners and the people who are of that mind, I'm going to respectfully disagree with them. Regardless of the substance, we have to address the black market problem. The violence associated with all of this is really it's a market share problem. As far as marijuana itself, clearly there are different facets of it. The obvious first one, I hesitate to say this, but of most legitimate concern, or I should say maybe most immediate concern, is the medical issue. Why this country or any country should not be making best use of any substance, especially a naturally grown substance. I mean, this is not something that's concocted in a laboratory. Should be available to physicians, licensed physicians, to prescribe for patients. As far as marijuana for recreational use or whatever use somebody wants to put it to, as long as there are no victims left in his or her wake, that should be a matter of personal preference. But I think to focus it only on marijuana actually makes it more easily discounted by a politician, because it's easy for them to say, well, it's just a bunch of stoners that want this for themselves. They're too easy to write off with a glib, flippant remark like that. I think addressing the entire issue as a national policy is a more appropriate way to go.
Okay. But looking at the issues, do you not see them as two issues, being that the public support for marijuana legalization in recent polls and with Prop 19 ranks between 46% and 53%, whereas legalization amongst any other drug among the public ranks between 2 to 8% public support?
I agree. You're absolutely right. There's a much broader movement and a much greater interest focused solely on marijuana. You can't argue with that. I think that's absolutely correct. And maybe that is, in fact, maybe the wisdom really would be to push for that one thing first. You know, I look at it from a law enforcement perspective and an impact on society, and the perspective of impact on society. You may ultimately prove to be right, and the folks who think that way may prove to be right. At LEAP, we believe that our society and our country, as you know, this extends overseas. I mean, this extends to funding of international terrorism. Mm-hmm. Clearly, there's an open warfare going on south of the border in Mexico. So we're interested in the broad ramifications of the drug policy. You may very well prove to be right that first we should look at that, but we really look at it as from a more all-encompassing perspective.
Yeah. Well, I think the response to the video was, by and large positive. You know, I agree with the perspective here that getting the president to admit legalization is on the table, that it's a legitimate topic for debate, is groundbreaking. And I think moving forward from here, then we can, you know, discuss how we attack that from that point, you know, moving forward with a marijuana focus or with all drugs. I think there's but again, now that it's open for debate, these are the kinds of things that we can talk about. How has the reaction been to this video, the response been amongst the people you work with, the people you speak to in your capacity with LEAP?
Oh, it's just breathtakingly positive. I have no grounding in the language of diplomacy, but I think if this was a diplomatic utterance, it would be seen as a major statement. You know, seemingly subtle, but a major departure or a major statement, but certainly this is a major departure. And I think it gives us all great encouragement, regardless of where we think the primary focus should be, whether specifically on marijuana first, or maybe never followed up by all scheduled drugs, or just start with a broad brush. It has to give us all encouragement. What we have been pursuing in this country for decades is absolutely a colossal failure. It's a fool's errand. And after 40 years, we should have learned to stop digging this hole and start to look at some other way to proceed. This is just insanity.
One of the things I noted from President Obama's response also is he said that we need to have more of a focus on reducing demand. And he pointed out things like getting more people in treatment and how bad it would be if you needed a treatment bed and you couldn't get one. And of course, I noted that a lot of those beds are filled with marijuana consumers that shouldn't be there. The Obama budget has been a 2-to-1 focus on police and interdiction compared to treatment and rehabilitation. What is LEAP going to be doing to pressure the president to put his money where his mouth is? You know, change the budget here to reflect the goals he said in this question.
You know, I wish I could give you specifics. I think guys like Roger Falcon, Neil Franklin, and Jack Cole are probably the people to ask for specifics about what their next moves are. In all honesty, I'm not that involved in the planning sessions. I'm not involved in the planning sessions at all, quite frankly. So if you want specifics, you're going to have to ask them. But to address just briefly what the president said about education and a public health issue, I agree entirely. You know, we don't have to look back too far, just at the 40s and 50s, to see doctors in white lab coats selling cigarettes on TV.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if we had decided to outlaw cigarettes? Can you imagine the cigarette cartels and the bloodbaths? Does anybody think that people who want to smoke cigarettes or using tobacco were going to stop because it was outlawed any more than they stopped using alcohol in the 20s and 30s? So I think really it is a public and health education issue, and that's where the focus should be.
All right. One of the things that happened in the last couple of times President Obama brought forth these open for questions, these online forums and dialogues, after they happened and the questions about marijuana legalization and ending the drug war dominated these conversations, our opponents said things like, you know, this was a well-funded and coordinated campaign by the drug legalizers to get the question, you know, to bombard the forum with their questions. Tell us about making this video, how you came to make it, how well-funded and coordinated it was, how much George Soros gave you to do it.
Yeah, let me tell you about this, because it really was quite an elaborate, it was an international cartel that really set this whole thing in motion. Here's how it happened. Tom Angel, the media relations director from LEAP, actually put out a request to our speakers. You know, I'm one of the speakers there, the whole stable of speakers around the country for LEAP, most of them retired cops. And he said, does anybody want to submit a question to ask President Obama? I didn't even know about this YouTube thing. So I sent in a question worded in a way that I thought was a reasonable and rational way to word it. He wrote back and said, yeah, this sounds great. Can you make a little video? I said, well, I don't know. So I start looking through my computer programs. I'm a semi-dinosaur. I mean, I'm 65 years old. I'm just learning about things. And there's an application or a program on there called Movie Maker. So I opened it for the first time, didn't even know it was there. And in about 10 minutes, I figured out how to make a video. And stapled up a backdrop behind me in the basement so you can see all the junk that's that's filling up my basement. Put on a shirt and tie, sat and made this thing, and sent it off to Tom. And he sent it in.
That's
a really high-tech, well-funded story behind that.
Mac, that sounds like the exact technology we're using right here every day.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing right now.
Yeah. Oh, hey, let's put on a show. I've got a barn. My mom will make the curtains.
Exactly. It's the internet version of Spanky and our gang here, I think. Oh,
exactly.
We're speaking with Mackenzie Allen. Yeah. He's a retired deputy sheriff and one of the speakers for Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. You can learn more about them at copssaylegalizeddrugs.com. Or if that's too much to type, just remember leap.cc, and you can get out to their website as well. And before we let you go, Mac, if anything else you'd like to tell us about your upcoming events that you're doing, speaking engagements where people can see you, or just information you'd like our audience to know?
Well, mine are local act here. I'm in the Pacific Northwest. I've got several local presentations to do for different Rotary clubs and Lions clubs and that kind of thing around. Nothing of major media that I know. But, you know, Russ, you know better than I. You can get in touch with Neil Franklin at LEAP, and he'll give you a roster of everything upcoming, or go to the website, which you've already said, leap.cc. Other than that, I have no feature films coming out.
Well, you should have one. You did such a great feature film already. It's gotten more hits than any video I've ever made.
Well, thanks for the encouragement. I wish you and your efforts and all your audience well, and maybe someday we'll get out of the dark ages in this regard in this country, huh?
I certainly hope so. Thank you so much for everything you're doing, Mac, and we'll talk to you again sometime.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, folks. When we come back, a little radical ranting for my birthday. Stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
If you like what you hear and would like to donate to the cause, send your check or money order to Normal Show Live, 1600 K Street Northwest, Suite 501, Washington, D.C., 20006. Your donation is a tax-deductible gift to the Normal Foundation and will be used to help support this online media. Thank you.
You want answers?
I was mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant. Well, as been said many, many times today, today is my birthday, January 31st. I'm a Capricorn now, not an Aquarius. They moved all the astrology around on me, but whatever. Today is my birthday. I'm 43 years old today. Today marks the third anniversary of me running the Normal Daily Audio Stash podcast. And, you know, what could I want for my birthday? You know, I work at home. I talk about weed all day. I research weed all day. I smoke weed a lot of the day. I got friends that bring me weed. I have people that mail me stuff. I mean, what in the world could I possibly want for my birthday? I it would be foolish of me to even ask for anything. I've been one of the luckiest guys on the planet to be doing what I'm doing. So instead, what I want is something for all of us cannabis consumers, and that is an end to these paramilitary SWAT raids over marijuana. The end to the killing of the pets, the end to the shooting of the guys with the golf clubs. Let's just stop using excessive force and serving marijuana raids. We know it's going to take a while to end, you know, marijuana prohibition. It's going to have to be legalized state by state, probably. But in the interim, we can change the police tactics used to enforce these laws. We can have these warrants served during daylight hours and with low use of force. I want to show you a little website that you can go look at. It's at cato.org/raidmap, and it's made by the Cato Institute, a libertarian think tank. And this is a Google map that shows the location of all the paramilitary SWAT raids in the United States dating back to 1985 through 2010. Now, I should correct, because this isn't all of them. This is the ones that they've got the stories on. And every single one of those pushpins is a pin you can determine what kind of what raid happened at that place. The colors are red for a death of an innocent, gray for the death of or a raid on an innocent suspect, blue is the death or injury of a police officer, green is other examples of paramilitary force, black is the death of a nonviolent offender, and orange is unnecessary raids on doctors and sick people. And you can find this at cato.org/raidmap. Now, I'll go to my home state of Idaho here, and right here, this little gray one, raid on an innocent suspect, if I click that, that's going to bring up what happened at that suspect's well, it's supposed to bring up what happened at that suspect's location. It's supposed to, there we go, interactive, just a little slow because we're running the website. And it takes a little time with all the internet stuff. But this is in my hometown of Nampa, Idaho. Raid on a man by the name John Simpson. Police in Nampa, Idaho, serving a drug warrant, toss a flashbang grenade into the home of Vietnam veteran John Simpson. I wonder what the effect of a flashbang grenade is on a Vietnam vet. That can't be good. The frightened Simpson first takes cover and attempts to protect his wife. He then composes himself, assumes he's being attacked by intruders, and immediately ventures out with the only weapon he can find, the hose from a vacuum cleaner. The police had targeted the wrong side of Simpson's duplex. Quote, I guess we're going to have to seek psychological help. I hate to say that, Simpson would later tell the Associated Press. I'm not nuts or anything, but I'm still shaking. Put a shotgun next to your ear and pull the trigger to get an idea of the noise. Police later pick up Simpson's neighbor with a quarter pound of marijuana. And this was back in June 17th of 2005, a raid on an innocent suspect in my hometown in Nampa, Idaho, when they were trying to get a guy for a quarter pound of marijuana. I mean, in the first place, the force going against the guy who's got the quarter pound is unnecessary, much less getting the wrong address and going to the wrong home. And these raids happen all over. You can zoom in to any part of the country and just zoom in there and be able to tell, you know, what raids are happening. Say, here, next to Louisville, Kentucky, here's a raid. Jeffrey Miles, on March 26, 1987, police in Jefferstown, Kentucky, raid the home of Jeffrey Miles, age 24, on an informant's tip. Wink, wink. During the raid, Officer John Rucker shoots Miles and kills him. Police would later discover that Miles wasn't a suspect. The raid had been targeted at the wrong house. This happens far too often in this country. People dying because of a mistake on a warrant. And we have told these stories at the Normal Daily Audio Stash over the past 3 years that I've been writing for this blog. And just in this past year, we have seen many of these. Carrie's got a few up at Cannabis Fantastic as well. A SWAT team and a marijuana standoff, a man protecting his garden, has a standoff with officers, ends up shooting himself, you know, committing suicide rather than giving in to the officers. In Washington State, just north of me, a 50-year-old military veteran was shoved to the floor in a SWAT raid over two small legal cannabis plants. This is the story of Will Laudansky, a medical marijuana patient in the state of Washington. As some officers held the man down with his face to the floor, the others began tearing through his apartment. He told them he was a medical marijuana patient and asked the officers if he could show them his paperwork. The police paperwork revealed that the man did indeed have paperwork declaring his marijuana grow was for medical purposes, and the officers observed two small marijuana plants growing in pots. And this is in a medical marijuana state, people. So remember, it's not quite legal yet. People are still getting raided over medical marijuana. Speaking of medical marijuana raids, we did a story in February of last year of a Missoula nursing home raided by SWAT over a medical marijuana caregiver. Missoula police raided a local nursing home last week after receiving a tip that an individual was selling marijuana to its residents. The suspected dealer, Taylor Gibbs, age 22, was found to be a medical marijuana caregiver registered with the state and no charges filed. But they break into, you know, the SWAT team comes to a nursing home as if the elderly people living there are going to be firing back and going down in a hail of bullets. It's just ridiculous. And probably these elderly folks are just seeking some of the best medicine they can get their hands on that costs so much less than what their prescriptions probably cost them and causes them far less harm. And then, of course, the terrible, terrible story that we told that broke everyone's hearts this year, the story of the Missouri SWAT team that shot the family dog during a raid over a small amount of marijuana. You can find this at our blog at stash.normal.org. I'm not going to play it because it's my birthday and I don't want to get too bummed out. But basically, the cops serve the raid. As they break in, the man's dogs start barking and coming at the police officers, and they shoot and kill the dogs. And right in front of the man and his children and his child and his wife, terrorized to see their dog killed like that. And it's not the only time we've told stories of dogs being killed. I have a whole topic over at stash.normal.org, dog shooting. It's an entire topic of stories that I've covered over the past 3 years of people's pets being killed. And oftentimes we're not even talking about, you know, people say, oh, well, a pit bull could hurt an officer. No, we're talking about like a Welsh corgi. We're talking about dachshunds. We're talking about lap dogs that are being shot and killed in these raids. As a matter of standard operating procedure to control these animals. This is what's going on in the name of trying to stop people from smoking marijuana. It's not going to happen. We're always going to smoke, and no amount of force that you use is going to stop us. We've done stories like this all year. We had a reader of ours write into us from Columbia, Missouri, and this is amazing here. I'll read you this man's story. The Columbia, Missouri Police Department served what they termed a high-risk search warrant at my residence April of 2009 when my wife woke me up just in time to hear a Columbia PD search warrant before they forced entry with a battering ram. It was the most horrifying 2 seconds of my life as I watched my door fly open and pieces of the door frame flying at me, followed by a column of paramilitary-clad thugs. As instructed by the cops with the machine guns in my face, I threw my hands up high as I could as I heard another one yell, "Secure the dog! Shoot him! Shoot him!" Fortunately, they did not kill my dog. I don't believe I could have remained as calm as the man in the other story if they'd had. I'm pretty sure I'd be dead. My wife and I were pulled out of bed, naked and handcuffed. They finally brought in a female officer, and my wife was allowed to dress before being taken to the living room. I had a crowd of perverts staring at me. They found the misdemeanor amount of marijuana on my table, and of course, they didn't forget to steal every dollar in the house. After collecting the money, they actually had the nerve to ask if we had any jewelry or other valuables in the house. I had to ask, is this a robbery or what? After I was Mirandized, I made the only statement anyone in that situation should make. I received it from an ACLU member at the checkpoint going into Schwagstock. I invoke and refuse to waive my right to remain silent. I invoke and refuse to waive my right to have an attorney present, and I'm requesting that attorney now. They pulled my wife into another room and informed her that she, quote, doesn't know what kind of man I am, end quote. Laughable. I was ultimately arrested for misdemeanor possession of marijuana and paraphernalia. I bonded out right away and have yet to be charged with a crime. Like Mr. Whitworth, I have a previous felony conviction for marijuana possession, of course reduced from possession with intent. Aside from marijuana possession and a couple traffic tickets, my criminal record's clean. I've never been accused of a violent offense or weapons violation. There was no reason to believe that they were facing a violent suspect. My wife is a degree-holding physical scientist, and I will finish my BA in computer science in December. We may be just hippies in their eyes, but we're hippies that contribute to society, don't bother anybody, and pay our fair share to the government on top of what they steal, of course. And these are the kind of emails I get day after day, year after year, for the past 3 years in this position. I hear from people all the time, all across this great country, people no different from me, aside from the fact that different circumstances of luck, different circumstances of birth, different circumstances of race, whatever it may be, but for the grace of God go I. I could be that guy who's getting busted, whose door's getting busted in. John could be. Carrie could be. The people sitting in the chat room on the cam right now could have their door burst in at any time by these paramilitary thugs in our name working under our taxpayers' dollars to break into our homes to try to stop us from growing and smoking marijuana. And this is something I always come back to when we talk about this issue, is the actual premise of what we are doing. What we are doing in this country is we have a national policy for the extermination of a plant species. If it were completely successful, the war on drugs, they would eradicate all the marijuana that exists, and that species would go extinct. That's their goal. And you've got to imagine, what is the premise for wanting to extinguish a plant species? And, of course, that premise leads us to the notion that it's right to use force and money to stop people from growing this plant species and consuming this plant species. And you just have to ask yourself, why? What is the problem you're trying to solve by doing that? And none of their answers make any sense. If the answer is to keep is health, to keep us all healthy, then cigarettes and liquor should be off the shelf. If the answer here is safety, then definitely alcohol should be off the shelf, and maybe we ought to do something about our easy access to handguns. But no, the reasons have to do with money, control, and power. And they always have. So if I could only have one thing for my birthday this year, It would be that no other cannabis consumer ever has to see their doors be burst in like this man in Columbia, Missouri. That no cannabis consumer's dog ever has to be shot and killed in front of that cannabis consumer. And then that person made to sit in their dog's blood handcuffed in their own home while cops ransacked the home. If I had one wish for my birthday, it would be that 92-year-old women like Katherine Johnston in Atlanta, Georgia, aren't shot and killed by police officers during the middle of the night on a raid on a wrong address when she had never touched marijuana in her life. The war on drugs affects all of us, not just those of us who consume cannabis or other drugs. It affects all of us. It's tearing our country apart. It's tearing Mexico apart to the foundations. It's corrupting our police officers. It's causing a public health crisis. It is contributing to the global warming of this country, or of this world, by the continued use of fossil fuels when we could be using carbon neutral hemp. It's contributing to the pollution of this world through plastics and the manufacturing process of making plastics when hemp could take that over. It is time to end adult marijuana prohibition. So if you want to do one thing for Radical Russ for my birthday, it's send a letter to your elected official at the state or federal level. Tell them you want to see this over. You want to see a stop to using extreme police force against cannabis consumers. And when you get that response from your legislator, mail it back to me, fax it back to me, however you want to send it to me. We'll get it archived in our Politicians on Pot segment, and you'll have done your part to help end adult marijuana prohibition. One voice at a time, one legislator at a time, one state at a time, until we take over this whole damn country and cannabis is re-legalized like our founding fathers intended. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And for Ganja John and Cannabis Carry, thanks for tuning in to Normal Show Live. We got another hour here coming up on Toker Talk Radio for those of you listening to us live. For those of you on the podcast, thanks for the download. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed.